Hey, everybody. Welcome to the State of Chiropractic podcast presented by One Chiropractic. I am your host, Baron Hoig, and I am thrilled that you're joining us today. As humans, we understand the importance of staying informed, staying connected, and staying inspired. That's why we created this podcast. It's a platform that's dedicated to exploring the defense of chiropractic, the expansion of and access to chiropractic care, and how it affects your ability to serve the world around you. In each episode, we're going to dive deep into the latest issues surrounding the profession, industry trends, legislative developments that shape the landscape of chiropractic. We'll bring you thought-provoking interviews with renowned experts, practitioners, and advocates who are driving initiatives and positive change all over the world. Our mission is to make chiropractic the number one healthcare choice. And to do that, we need you. So whether you're a seasoned chiropractor looking to expand your knowledge or you're an ally of the profession, you're in the right place. We're here to share insights, to debunk myths, to spark meaningful conversations that will shape the future of our profession. And don't forget, subscribe to the State of Chiropractic podcast so you never miss an episode. Stay connected with us on our website and all of our social media channels where you can share your thoughts, ask questions, and suggest topics for future episodes. Now, without further ado, let's dive in to this week's episode and welcome to the State of Chiropractic podcast. All right, all my warriors, I am excited about this conversation. A lot of you should know him. Those of you that don't are going to be very thankful that you stayed tuned to this episode of the State of Chiropractic, our podcast that's telling you about the information that's happening around the world. My goal when I do these is to try to find warriors that have been fighting maybe under the umbrella of the mainstream communication within our profession. And Dr. Tom, you've had your day in the spotlight, but I don't think people realize that you're still doing the stuff that you're doing to fight on behalf of chiropractic. So thank you so much for being willing to communicate with us today and share with us. And for those that aren't really maybe that familiar with you, give a quick like resume of kind of who you are, what you've done in Canada, well, really not even Canada, around the world, and get people an understanding about who you are and what your heart looks like.
Yeah, thanks, Baron, and it's an honor to be here. You know, we're on the same team as we've talked many times, right? So 100% happy to be here. Yeah, so you know what? I got into chiropractic without a conscious awareness that I was, meant to be a chiropractor or divined to be a chiropractor. After I graduated, my dad told me that a chiropractor saved my life when I was 1 year old, and I went, dude, why would you not tell me that like years ago? Like what? So apparently I was super sick, very subluxated, of course. And at the time in Canada in the 60s, there was a GP who was coming up and sticking my butt with penicillin. And I was getting sicker and sicker and sicker. So in 7 days, I had lost 1/3 of my body mass. Hmm. And my dad actually thought, he goes, holy cow, like my son's going to die. And the medics don't know what to do. So when you're on that last resort, what do? You call your chiropractor, right? So great, great commitment story. The chiropractor lived like literally more than an hour's drive away. My dad called him on a Saturday. He said, that kid needs to be checked. It was a blizzard. He says, you're bringing that kid down. I'll come up. In Canada at that time, Baron, it was probably like $2 or $3 an adjustment. Yeah. That guy drove an hour through a blizzard, took him an hour and a half. He got there. He checked me. He said, everything's been done for this kid, but nobody's adjusted him. He adjusted my atlas, and my dad is a big outdoorsman. That's where I got my love of it. And he said it sounded like a rifle went off. And literally within 30 seconds, I fell asleep. I slept 25 hours around the clock. My mom went in and did the mirror thing to see if I was still alive. She said the doc killed me, right? And got up, I ate a bunch of food, and like I was good to go. So why my dad didn't tell me that years ago, I don't know. So when I went to my very first Parker seminar in the late 80s when I graduated, and you know this legendary Jim Parker gets up and 8,777 of us in the Bally, auditorium. And he goes, do you think chiropractic chose you or did you choose chiropractic? And it's like, yeah, no, chiropractic chose me. And so that's sort of some long-winded story. I started two practices from scratch, Baron. It turns out some of my clients had like over-unders and when I'd go broke because no idiot starts two practices from scratch. But I didn't know I could fail, so I didn't, right? Big part of my life and my focus is our five beautiful daughters. When my wife Shelley got pregnant with her first daughter, I said, I'm not going to be that guy who has pictures of his kids on his nightside stands, remembers what they look like. So I brought one of my classmates to run the other practice. He ended up buying it. I introduced him to his wife. I was MC at his wedding. It was, that kind of story. So I had this message inside of me, Baron, right? And then there's people ask me to speak and teach, because what I did was I got really clear about what I wanted my life to look like. And I'm very proud and excited to play the role of chiropractor. It's an amazing role. But it's not more important than my role as a father
That's
or
right.
as a husband, the other roles I play. So finding that work-life balance early in my career was important to me. So my story was, I realized that I wanted to be a big part of my daughter's lives. So I've been taking 10 to 12 weeks of holidays for over 30 years, working a 27-hour work week, making a nice six-figure income. And apparently not all of my peers do that. So
Yeah,
they
you
started
think,
asking me
right?
to, how do you do that? So that's
Yeah.
when I started to speak and teach. And, I've done a lot of that over the years around the world. And I'm quite proud of being able to share, my heart and my story with others, with the sole intent to help them, connect with the bigness of the person within, Baron, right? Realize that all things are possible. There's nothing different about me or any other person or BJ Palmer. We're all the same at the core. We can connect and express from that place, anything's possible, right? That's really my message. So that's my story. I stopped hands-on practice in a really official way. Man, it's bizarre for me to say this out loud. 22 years ago, and I started to coach and train and consult full time. So we run a program called Full Circle Coaching Consulting, because all things in life come full circle. And I've committed my life to that. I mean, I got great hands. I still adjust. I still see a half a dozen people a week out of the family room, but that's a hobby. That's not a practice, right? That's just to keep my hands, in the game, right? So yeah, so that's my story in chiropractic.
Love it. Absolutely love it. And I think sometimes we forget. I have a lot of great friends that their focus has not been running associations and moving up the ladder on licensing boards and things of that nature. It's just been in their office adjusting as many people as they possibly can in their lifetime. And I think we lose sight of the warriors that they are. And you don't have to be the guy that's always sitting on a podium screaming at people in order to really make an impact in this world. So thank you for that journey. Now, with all of that said, you have been very involved in what's been going on in Canada. You have been very involved in regulatory bodies and things of that nature. So most of you watching this know, if you watch my updates, you know that we've been doing a lot of work in Canada over the last 3 to 4 years. From my perspective, Canada is a hot mess in the way that the regulatory body really operates within Canada. And the fact that there's one chiropractic school, I'm not going to publicly bash it, but let's just say it leaves some stuff to be desired when it comes to producing chiropractors that understand what they're a part of. So a lot of Canadians come to the US to go to school and then they'll come back to Canada. But there's always that little rub because when we don't have an infrastructure that's producing philosophically minded and principled chiropractors, most of the people that are sitting on regulatory boards, most of the people that are doing the work within the associations and things of that nature have a mindset that's very different than maybe what we have. And we found that, and this isn't about, those of you listening, you guys know that I'm not flying a specific flag or asking you to fly a flag. What I'm saying is when you have a very condensed mindset, whether it's good, bad, or indifferent, no matter what side of the spectrum it's on, that's still a limited mindset, and you're restricting the ability to let the profession of chiropractic to actually be understood and utilized the way that it was intended. The bigness of what chiropractic does is beyond low back, headaches, migraines, musculoskeletal. I think we forget the neuro side of that a lot. And when we forget the neuro side of that, you're closing down a massive component of what the world needs to understand about chiropractic. So, with all of that said, share with me. There's been some work that's been being done, some of it underground, some of it very publicly. Share with me from your perspective what's been happening up there in Canada to try to fix that particular issue.
So I'll give you a little bit of background on this, Baron. I had the privilege of knowing and loving Larry Webster, the father of ICPA, right? When he was still with us, he left way too early. And I remember talking about his practice, and he says, "You know what? It's exclusively children." And he says, "But invariably, what happens is I get the kid under care, I tell the story, and the parents go, 'Wait a second, maybe I should be under care.'" And then he goes, "Wait." And it didn't matter what the answer was. He goes, "How old are you?" And it didn't matter if they told him 28 or 48 or what, 108. He'd go, "Nah, you're too old. You're too screwed up. I don't want to try and fix you." Right. So you take that mindset, Baron, right? It's like in my 30 years of coach consulting work, it's like, and I say this tongue in cheek a little bit, but with great respect, but like there's a lot of folks who, to literally completely paraphrase what you said, man, don't get the possibilities that chiropractic holds. They don't get how big it is. And the school in Canada, let's just, give it a name in Toronto, where I went to school. It teaches a very, in my offering, my opinion, a very limited scope of chiropractic. And I don't want to make it wrong, because in chiropractic, we tend to, you know, circle the wagons and
agree.
Shoot within. Let's not make
Yep.
it wrong. But damn it, stop making me wrong for understanding that it's more,
That's
right? Like,
100%
let's just,
right.
you know, and so to take that thing, there was a lot of conversation between some people sort of underground, Baron, right? So you're wise at knowing there's a lot happens underground. That was like, hey, let's go into that school and get on the board and try and fix it. And man, we put some intention and effort towards that. And then we realized it was just so enmeshed in its mindset and its understanding of the people that supported it. And let's be clear, there are some good people on the board. I do
Sure.
know some good people on the board, good chiropractors, but the culture, the bureaucracy, the structure, the pieces that run it. So we just felt like, you know, rather than trying to use the Larry Webster analogies, rather than trying to fix something that's already too far gone,
Yeah.
Let's just start over. And we've been talking about this, some of us in Canada, for, with no exaggeration, over 20 years.
Yeah.
We've known it was there. There was a piece that was, obviously we weren't ready. The timing wasn't right, whatever, but we are ready. We have been pushing on this. There was this thing called a plandemic that kind of got in the way a bit of some of the work, but nonetheless, we're still, you know, doing our piece. And initially we had a very strong verbal commitment from some people that are involved and are part of the Native community here, Native Indigenous Indian community in our, and we really felt, and our study showed, that we could decrease bricks and mortar side of it by 30% by being on reserved territory.
Mm-hmm.
So we were really putting a lot of momentum and stuff behind that. And then we got an absolute pail of cold water a period of time ago that just was going to hit a dead end. So we're regrouping and revamping. I've been in a lot of communication with a lot of the institutions and schools. And, you know, when I spoke at the New Zealand Chiropractic College Lyceum in 2019, I got to meet Patrick Sims, Mark Postles, and, you know, the work they did at Adelaide School, which was fantastic. And I remember Patrick looking at me, and he goes, once we got to know each other a little bit, he goes, Tom, if you really knew how much work it was going to be, you'd run as far and as fast into the night as you could, right? So we get it's a lot of work. We got a 48-year timeline. And some of our research has shown things. And to your comment, Baron, like, for example, 1/3 of New Zealand Chiropractic College's entrance classes every year, Canadians, right? They're traveling halfway around the world to get an education, right?
Yeah.
You look at Sherman, you look at Life, you look at Life West, you look at, you know, other schools that are more philosophically grounded. There's a lot of Canadians that go to school there, right? And so if you look at it, also CMCC, the only school in Canada of any size, they get on average 800 applicants for 200 seats. So that means there's 600. I got to believe, Baron, that there's 20 or 40 or 50 in that group of 600
quality
that are qualified, right?
Yeah.
So it's like, you know, to quote a Sid Williams, I mean, the fields are white for the harvest, right? Like it's ready and there, but man, there is a ton of red tape. And because initially we were targeted at building a brand new school. Everybody said, keep autonomy, keep autonomy. We have letters of support, and I'm not sure I can say this publicly, but from three very, very well-known chiropractic colleges that I may have just talked about in the last little bit, to, you know, share accreditation information, to share curriculum.
Yeah.
I've had conversations with some other great leaders in the profession, like Heidi Havoc, who's very supportive of the process and supports a lot of chiropractic colleges with their stuff.
Yep.
Because of course the world changed, and you know, some of my friends like Guy Riekeman saw this coming before the pandemic, but like every school had to pivot and do virtual stuff, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so there's ways to cut some of your operating costs, Baron, right? By doing virtual training on things. Obviously you can't do labs and tutorials and hands-on training and stuff, but there's ways to use the virtual world to do some information-based stuff and then gather together bricks and mortar to do other stuff. So that's our big picture model. We're at the stage now where we had to regroup after the pail of cold water in the face not too long ago. And when we were talking to the different schools, institutions, and Patrick Sim as an example, they kept saying, maintain your autonomy, maintain your autonomy, maintain your autonomy. Because if you look at some of the schools in Australia, I've been led to believe that they started out sort of in a good direction, then they got swallowed up, and then, you know, things turn to what they are in Australia, right? So, but it's also, we realized if we went to start a brand new institution to get government, Ministry of College and University, it's called in Canada, to get their blessing, to get a new degree granting institution, like we're not talking about, you know, pushing a boulder up a mountain. We're talking about pushing it up Everest and back down and back up again, right?
The money required just to get that stuff done is astronomical.
It is. And so we're now in conversations with, and I won't say it publicly, but, you know, some very well-known institutions that are open to the possibilities of embracing us as a an outpost, if
a
you
new
will,
division,
of
a new
their
division
institution.
of their school.
New division up, which, as our research shows in the government level here, which is the key, it's going to open a lot more doors. But again, we're looking at raising probably $2 million, Baron, to get the project off the ground. And so what's pending, and it seems to take an unfortunate amount of time, is the we have not-for-profit status, but what we need is charitable status so people can actually, you know, write the checks, get the tax pieces and stuff, right? But again, part of our mandate, you know, we don't want to just, in an effort to ever denigrate what it means to be a powerhouse chiropractor, but we don't want to just create chiropractors. We want to create leaders in healthcare that are happen to be chiropractors, right? And that opens up a mandate. So we've had conversations with some really good institutions in Canada. Queen's University is considered one of the premier business schools, like Wharton in the States. And they're verbally wide open to a joint venturing. Royal Military College, which is our version of West Point in America, right? They're very open to talking to us and teaching leadership, you know, with us in a joint venture way. So we've got a lot of groundwork laid, Baron, which is actually super friggin' exciting. But, you know, again, there's details, there's hurdles to climb and stuff, right?
So God's timing is perfect. And it's interesting because we're starting to see that here in the United States as well with Campbellsville opening. You know, that was an example of going into an existing institution that didn't really have a medical mindset, but they were very open to adding chiropractic as a new major and curriculum within their program. So, you know, talking to Patrick at ACC and a number of other individuals, the super expensive part is all the sciences in the beginning. It's getting through everything that the accreditation agency, CCE, all of that stuff require as part of the core curriculum. Those are the things that tend to be super expensive. Well, now that we do have online and now that we've got some tested piloted schools that are working through and figuring the speed bumps out in that area, you know, I think God's timing is perfect for something to happen in Canada without necessarily having to go through all of the brain damage that they did there. I know there's another school in Washington State that's going to be opening up that's very similar. It's going to be not your traditional type program. I just had a conversation with CCE about that, their understanding where this is going, that just because it used to be 3.5 years or 4,500 hours, does that necessarily mean we can't produce chiropractors at 3,500 hours instead of 4,500 hours, right? I mean, that's just, I'm not saying you're cutting anything out, but is everything that we've been requiring really necessary? And I'm going to argue and flat out say, absolutely not. Half of the junk that's being taught in chiropractic schools is not necessary to create an amazing chiropractor. And so I love where we're at right now, where everything's a little bit in a flux. And I think it's very important for those of you watching to understand what Dr. Preston is doing and the group that he's working with. And it's happening everywhere. We're having these conversations in South Africa. We're having these conversations in Norway. We're having these conversations in Central America. They're happening all over where people are saying, we've got to produce schools that have a basis for understanding so that we can attract more people into this profession. We're retiring more chiropractors than we're graduating right now. That is going to catch up to us as a profession. If we don't get serious about opening and being creative in the way that we're opening schools and we're letting people access this amazing profession, we're not sacrificing quality. We're not sacrificing education, but we're being creative in how we deliver it, just like every other industry is. There's a phenomenal opportunity here, I think, to really do something special. So I commend what you guys are doing there. And I love how you're thinking out of the box and saying, let's take the best of the business schools and let's take the best of this. Because I know, like in Campbellsville, you got Bruce Lipton that's teaching neurology, right, on their online courses. So like, how amazing is that? Like, you're never going to have that it live in class, but what an amazing opportunity.
Well, and to your point about the timelines and are there ways to, you know, graduate, you know, the best of the best of the chiropractors? Like, I don't forget which book it was of the Green Books, but I remember reading in there that he said, you know what? He always felt like the best chiropractors were ones that studied, you know, your core sciences and stuff so you could talk to others that were, you know, about took about 18 to 24 months, right? Mm-hmm. Because you get too much like left brain educated, it's like it just just weighs you down, and then you can lose your connection to innate and you know, the wee small whisper within. So my daughter, who just graduated in 2020, you know, we took her down to see Guy at Life University when he was still there and doing his thing, and we did the Life Leadership Weekend or whatever it was, and she loved it. But man, it's a big step there to you know, leave Canada and go all the way, you know, to Atlanta or whatever, you know. So I mean, my hat's off to those kids New Zealand and from Canada, and that's amazing. But and maybe some would still do that because they love to travel. That's the millennial thing. But for those that don't, my daughter went to Toronto to CMCC because she just, didn't want to be away. Now, it turned out to be genius because during the pandemic, that would have been really hard. We wouldn't have seen her, right?
Yeah.
But just giving the kids the opportunity to do something geographically more
Yeah.
local. Because another part of our process, right, in graduating healthcare leaders that are chiropractors, I love concept of mission trips. I was going to take my daughter Jayla to Panama on the mission trip that got canned just early in the pandemic and stuff, right? Give her that experience. But like we've been talking as a steering committee, and it's like, we don't need, God bless, and Panama would be a great place to go, but we don't need to go there to do mission trips. There are
Right there in
third
Canada.
world parts of Canada,
That's
right?
right.
You go into some of the northern indigenous communities, man, that's third world, like, in spades, right? And so one of the, we call the future college to be Four Directions Chiropractic, because we all share in that indigenous mindset. If people aren't familiar with true indigenous mindset, it's very much above, down, inside out, like 100%, right? If you get into the, not the way it's expressed sometimes on the reserves and things, the territories, but in it, at its essence, it's that. And so, Four Directions speaks to the wisdom of that indigenous teaching and what it means to us, because it is, again, very, above, down, inside out. So yeah, there's lots of cool pieces and moving parts. Done a lot of homework. We know there is a group called HISA in Canada that for, 55 grand, they will do the homework to help us get through the government bureaucracy to get to, degree grant status and stuff. But, most of us don't have 55K falling out of our shirt pockets and out of the couch cushions, right? So again, going back to the fundraising thing, and we really want this to be a grassroots thing. So I see myself, I've seen it in meditation several times, right? At an appropriate time, hopefully sooner than later, I do a cross-country tour. I don't give a damn if I got to walk or drive. And I'm just going to, meet chiropractors in their offices 3 to 7 at a time and say, look, here's the vision. Here's what we're doing. We'd like you to be part of this, right? And obviously, we'd love you to write a check to help out with that, but we'd also love to be a part of it. We'd love to see the students getting like really hands-on experience, learning the business from the ground floor up, and getting the ability to be like a front desk CA during the summer months, right? When they're not in classes and stuff, so they can learn the business from ground floor. I had a client one time from New York City, Baron, who wanted to be a chiropractor. He realized he needed to learn the business of ground floor up, became a CA in New York City, worked for 2 years, was a rock star, went to Life West, interviewed 7 offices to which one he would choose to work in while he was going to school, kicked butt there, came back. He did $1.2 million his first year in practice. Like,
It's
this
easy
whole
to
thing
do.
about, hey, you don't have to starve and suffer when you get the big idea and understand business, right? So us doing combined collaboration with other institutions that are, quite frankly, probably better at teaching business than we
100%.
are, I mean, that just is, I think, a good choice, right?
And again, it's the out of the box thinking, right? And I was just talking, I was at an event this weekend in Arkansas, and I was challenging the audience that, we love to say that, we're protecting the sacred trust, and we love to put up pictures of BJ and talk about, how he was. If you really understand the history of BJ, he was out of the box on everything. He considered everything. He modified his adjusting technique constantly as he had new input that came in. But I think our profession, there's always just been such, we bunker down, we own what we know, we're separate and distinct, and we feel like we're going to lose who we are if we get outside of that mindset. Now, I never want to compromise the principles. That, please be clear what I'm
Never.
saying. But that doesn't mean that we can't achieve that. Some of the best adjusters and chiropractors that are in the history of this profession were people that went to school for 9 weeks, 10 weeks, 20 weeks, 30 weeks, right? It was the regulations that started clouding all of this. It's when we got accepted into mainstream medicine that all of a sudden we had to start checking boxes that MDs were required to check because they're killing people with allopathic medicine and they didn't know what else to do with us. So they just grouped us in that category. And so it's been, I'm not saying that we need to modify or compromise our belief system. What I'm saying is we need to fight back to make sure that what we're having our students do is really the strength of what they need to be a leader in healthcare, like you guys stated. And so I'm so excited that you guys have a steering committee. I'm so excited that you guys are posing these questions. Obviously, we want to help any way we can with spreading information. When you guys get to the point that you're ready to let the cat out of the bag and you've got your nonprofit status and all that stuff, we're going to support you like we support ACC and all those guys that are really trying to get this thing moving. So, and I hope that the people listening understand that this is foundational. This is our time in history. Like, right, we lift up and we say we stand on the shoulders of giants, of those that went to jail for us to be able to practice today back in the 50s, 60s, and 70s. This is our time in history to stand up and take advantage of the opportunities of this crazy healthcare system that we have. And if we can provide more opportunities for people to get access to understanding chiropractic through education, if we can really make a concerted effort as a population to send more people to school and know that the key to us getting the world we want to make chiropractic the number one healthcare choice in the world is all of us organizing, working together, doing a little bit. If we all do a little bit, this isn't going to be expensive for anybody, right? I mean, it's not. You say $2 million is easy to raise if a bunch of people give you $30 a month. Right. So it's not a hard thing to do if we can wrap our mind around it's not just 5 or 10% of the people carrying the load, that we're spreading that over 50, 60, 70, 80% of the population, because everybody wins, no matter your philosophy. Everybody wins when we're working together to make chiropractic more mainstream in the mindset of being utilized more appropriately.
100%. And here's my piece on a personal level, Baron, right? It's like, I've got 5 daughters, I've got 3 grandchildren, 2 more on the way as of this recording. And it's like, I wonder what the future of chiropractic is going to look like if we don't act now, if 100%. We don't get off our keisters and do the work, right? Will my grandchildren's kids or grandchildren have anybody to adjust them, right? Some of my friends in the regulatory body here in Canada, in Ontario, they do peer evaluations. 40% of the docs that they do peer evaluations for aren't adjusting anymore.
Yeah.
Like, well, that is what makes it. And you know what? If anybody needed a wake-up call in Canada right now, there was a massive resurgence of the osteopathic profession that almost died in Canada. And it's, I've never been, so I don't want to speak out of church. I know that DD and Andrew Still were buddies back in the day, right? But an osteopathic manipulation is what they're doing. They're not doing the DOMD stuff Correct. Like they did in the States for years. It's like, wake up, chiropractors. People want the hands-on. They want to be adjusted. Anyways, I'll get off my soapbox. If they needed to be massage, send them to a massage therapist. That's what they're trained to do, for heaven's sakes. Nothing wrong with massage. It just ain't chiropractic, in my humble opinion, right?
Yeah.
So my whole thing, because I owe so much to chiropractic and to the philosophy and the principles of chiropractic, and it gave me a foundation to live my life by, to raise my children by, to run my businesses by. It's foundational. One of my coaches challenged me many years ago. I'll challenge the audience to consider this. What are the 3 most important things you've ever learned in your entire life? Man, it took me a month to really reflect back on what those 3 things might be. I've got a lot of great teachers in my life, influencers, my parents, my friends, family, teachers, whatever. And anyways, when I summarized it and, you know, edited, I got it down to 3. One of the 3, Baron, was the major premise. There's a universal intelligence in all matter that continually gives through all its properties and actions, thereby maintaining existence. That's one of the most important things I've ever learned or affirmed, right? And it's like, that's a guiding point in my life. That to, you know, DDBJ, the developers, the people of the shoulders I stand on. And I don't want to be the guy that's the weak link in the freaking chain that, you know, people look back and they go, yeah, I know I'm standing on the shoulders of many greats and I don't need to be great, but I'd love to be able to take my role so that my grandchildren's grandchildren have chiropractors to adjust them that get the big idea and understand that chiropractic is an art, a science, and philosophy. Because in Canada right now, it is not a philosophy. It's a science, barely an art. Philosophy isn't even on the table, sadly.
All right. Well, I love it, Doc. Well, thank you again so much for some time. Thanks for sharing this information. If you are interested in helping and support this, please reach out to us. We'll get you in contact with this group that's doing that. Obviously, the more people they have that get the picture, big picture, and want to create a reality that they're talking about, it's going to have to happen up in Canada. So we love you. We appreciate you, Doc. Thank you so much for your time, your heart, your passion, for loving what I love. And it's been an honor and will continue to be an honor to serve in this amazing professional alongside of you. So thank you so much for your time.
Absolutely. Thank you for doing what you do, Baron. I've said it many times, brother, but we're on the same team. And I love you and I love what you do and what you stand for. So onwards.
All right. Sounds good. God bless.
God bless.
Cool.
As it should be, sir.
Love it, brother. Absolutely. All right, everybody. And that brings us to the end of another enlightening episode of the State of Chiropractic podcast, brought to you by One Chiropractic. I am your host, Baron Hoig, and it has been an absolute pleasure to delve into the world of chiropractic with you today. My goal is to foster education, awareness, and advocacy for chiropractic professionals worldwide. And we're grateful to have you as part of our community. If you enjoyed this episode, be sure to subscribe to the State of Chiropractic podcast wherever you love to download episodes. We don't want you to miss a future episode, and trust me, we have some great ones coming your way. We'd also like to express our gratitude to you for your unwavering commitment to chiropractic. Without your generous contributions, this podcast would not be possible. And lastly, we value your feedback and insights. If you have any questions, suggestions, or topics you'd like us to cover in future episodes, please do not hesitate to reach out to us. You can find us at www.defend.org or any of our social media channels. Just look for One Chiropractic. Man, we'd really love to read what you have to say and make sure that we take that into consideration with future episodes. So thank you once again for joining us on the State of Chiropractic podcast. Together, let's continue to elevate and defend chiropractic care, ensuring its rightful place as the number one choice in healthcare. Until next time, stay aligned, stay informed, and keep making a difference in the lives of those you serve. God bless.